Good morning. How you guys doing? Good today? Is it warming up outside? Because it was cold this morning when I got here. No? All right. Today we continue that sermon series we're calling Encounter. There are passages in the Bible where God's people went outside and experienced nature and God revealed himself to them. And the premises of the series is that we ourselves in 21st century, we can experience God in the same way that the people in the Bible times experienced God. If God chose to reveal himself through creation back in the day, if he's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever, he also chooses to reveal himself to us through creation. And it's really about us being able to stop and ponder and pay attention on his revelation to us as we walk through the woods or as if we're fishing or doing whatever things people do outside. For the last week or two, every single time I'm trying to put a teaching together for you, DCC, every time I'm trying to put a sermon together, there's one resounding sound coming to my mind is this. You gotta let it go to the past. You're forgiven. You have to forgive yourself. God has already let you go. So it's like it keeps coming back and back and back. And as I was studying this passage, that was the resounding sound that came through it. I have a question for you today. Have you ever made a mistake that marked your life, and because of the mistake that you made, you lost purpose of life? Have you ever made a mistake that caused your life to just fall apart, and you have been marked by that and living through that? Today, my theme for this message today is this. I have it up there for you. We are not marked by the mistakes of life, because God's consuming fire, he refines us and gives us a new purpose. God is in the business of refining people so that we would find new meaning and new purpose in life. And this is the story of Moses, someone who made a mistake in his early years, and for a period of his life, he just lived marked by that mistake. We're going to be reading today from Exodus chapter 3, and I encourage you to open your Bibles there. And if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, just raise your hands. I know that might sound a little bit embarrassed, but it is not. We have Bibles for you, and one of the ushers, one of the host ministry guys, deacons and elders, we have Bible, extra Bibles, we'll bring it for you. But Moses, we all know the story of Moses, right? That's the story we learn young in the Bible. It's about, you know, you go to Sunday school classes, you learn that. Even if you're not in a Sunday school class, even if you've never been at church, Moses in the burning bush is one of those stories that everybody knows. Church or unchurched, you know those stories. There are some biblical stories that everybody knows, right? Noah and the ark. You don't need to be a Christian to know that story. Moses in the burning bush. You don't have to be a Christian to know that story. We read about that or hears about that everywhere. But so that's the story we're exploring today. But before the burning bush, this is the life of Moses. He was born and was adopted. I can't tell you the whole story. You go ahead and read it, all right? I've just got to summarize. So I'm jumping a lot of parts here, okay? But he was born and he was adopted by a princess from Egypt. Pharaoh's daughter adopted him, picked him up from the river. There's a story for that too. And he grew up as a son of Pharaoh, like important guy in the most important kingdom that was at the time, with a bright future in front of him. But he knew he was not Egyptian. He knew he was a Jewish man. And one day he was walking through Egypt and he saw one of the Egyptians taking advantage of the Jewish guy. And because he loved his people, he uses his zeal and his passion in a little bit of an extra way. And he killed the Egyptian who was beating the Jewish guy. He had a good heart, but a bad action. Maybe. You got to be reminded, Jesus says, what is in your heart comes out in your hands and comes out in your mouth. So he goes on and kills the guy, and the next day he buries and buries the body, you know, and the next day he didn't think anybody saw. Next day he's walking through the camp again. There's two Jewish guys having at it, you know, a little UFC fight going on between the Jewish guys, and they were wrestling together, you know. So that's the word, wrestling. Well, UFC must punch people, right? Then wrestle, right? Why am I making these comments? Anyways, so they were like fighting against each other. Moses got in the way, and then the two guys are like, what are you going to do to us? Are you going to kill us like you did with the Egyptian guy? Woo! I thought I did that. Nobody saw it. Everybody knew it, and then now Pharaoh is after Moses, and Moses run. He runs it away. He forgets who he was and forgets the purpose of his life, and now we find himself on Exodus chapter 3, taking care of his father-in-law livestock. I can't say the animals, it's sheep, but that sounds like boats, you know, but it's not a boat, it's sheep. Chapter 3 of Exodus. If you're there, let's read. I'll read from verse 1 to 6 to start. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am, Lord. Then God told him, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Wow, great story, right? You have a little flock, and you're trying to you're walking through the wilderness, through the desert, and you get these flocks, and as a pastor, you know that you ought to take care of them because there's a lot of things going on that can take life away. And he sees this burning bush, little tree, take on fire, and the fire didn't consume. Interesting sight. Let me go check it out. Through this verses 1 to 6, we see that God revealed his presence to Moses. And that's my first point to you. God revealed himself to Moses through the fire. And here's the interesting thing, in that God is often revealing himself to us, isn't it? He's often trying to show himself to you, wave his hand, and say, here I am, come check me out. This passage, you cannot read it all literal. There is a lot of allegory and metaphors that I am going to pull it out for you this morning. That's how I'm going to approach this text, in an allegorical and a metaphorical way. God reveals himself to Moses, and the image and how he revealed himself to Moses is through fire, an element, a physical element, nature, one of the most important aspect of life, isn't it? This week I was in my office, and I was sitting in there, and Miss Tracy gave me a call. Tracy Bender is the principal of DCA. And she was like, Sam, I'm calling you to let you know that we're going to have a fire drill. I don't know if you know fire drill, but there's a lot of noises going on in the building when that is going, you know. And then I'm sure they do all kind of stuff with the kids, run kids outside or whatever that might be. We are taught to run away from fire, not run to the fire, right? I am impressed with Nathan Shaw. He's a fireman. And whenever there is a fire, instead of running away, he runs to the fire. Here we see Moses seeing a bush caught on fire. And instead of running away, he runs right to it. What is interesting about this specific aspect of it is that God initiated the fire, right? He initiated the events in your life in which his presence ought to be understood and how he manifests himself to us. So Moses, instead of running away, he runs to it. But here's what is important about this. God was trying to catch his attention. Let me tell you this. God is often trying to catch your attention. And sometimes it takes some extraordinary effort in order for you to stop and to do what Moses just did here. He stopped, paid attention, and walked toward the presence of God. So many times in our lives, God is just trying to do just that, just to catch your attention so that you will walk toward him. Verse 4 is very important for you. This is what it says. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. God only spoke to Moses after Moses paid attention to God and walked towards God. So many of us are trying to listen to God, and God is waving his hand, and he's putting fires in the bushes and in the houses and whatever that might be, and you're like missing it, and you're missing it, and you're missing it. It is until you walk toward God that you're going to hear what he's trying to say. You got to pay attention to listen, right? It's like, I know most of you have kids here, have you ever talked to your kid while he's playing video game? Right? Did they listen to what you're saying? You can be talking, and God is consistently talking to his people. But it's until you are stopped, look, and pay attention to what God is trying to do, to what God is trying to say, that you're going to listen. Laura is sitting here, he's like, yes, and it's just like my wife when she's trying to talk to her husband. And that's what's going on here. And this is one of the first lessons we ought to understand, that God is trying to reveal himself to us, but you won't listen until the day you stop and pay attention. And he's doing some extraordinary things to draw you closer to him. Last time you stopped. And walk towards God. What was the last extraordinary thing that happened in your life? The last extraordinary circumstances that you stopped and you paid attention and you walked toward God. See, Moses was marked for the mistakes, for the murder that he did, and he find himself without a purpose in life. And God is like, buddy, I am not done with you yet. You have made one mistake, or you have made many mistakes. I am putting fire up so that you draw closer to me. I still have a lot to do with you. Throughout the whole Bible, the word fire has to do with refining and purification. God is the all-consuming fire. And that's what's so important about this passage, that the fire was burning but was not destroying the tree. Because that's the kind of fire that God is. God burns, but he doesn't take away what is important. He takes away what is not important, unimportant. If it is not belongs there, that's what he consumes. That's what he takes away. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is talking to God's people about being sanctified, being holy. And he says, our God is an all-consuming fire. It's like the fire that burns the gold and the silver and the bronze. It purifies it and makes it better. The last part of verse 6, it says this, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. He was afraid to look at God. See, this is what I think it is so important for us to understand too, is that God, he was trying to show Moses that there are some things in his life that needed to be taken away, that needed to be burned by the presence of God so that he could once again find purpose in his life. And Moses knew that he couldn't see God, not because he couldn't see it, but he didn't hide his face because he didn't want to put his face before God, because he knew he was guilty in his heart of what was going on. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, tells us this, that the pure in heart, only those will see God. The Sermon on the Mountain. You got to have a pure heart to be able to see God. And before Jesus spoke those words, Moses was leaving them out. He knows, we all know that what is in the heart is what it translates itself in our hands and in our mouth. Moses knew he couldn't be in the presence of God because of the mistake that he had made. But God was ready to tell him, listen, buddy, this is not the end. It's the beginning of something new, something different that I have for you in your life. My question for you is, how is your heart? Can you look God face to face? When God shows up himself to you, are you able to lift up your face and look up to God? Or are you looking like, or are you like Moses with your head down? Thinking about all the things you have done in the past and how that have marked your life. The word bush here is the word for thorns. This weekend we were in a men's retreat, and it was a great retreat for that we got to do different things. And one of the things that we got to do was a prayer walk. We got to walk for about an hour in silence and just pray. It was like you, nature, and God. And throughout that walk, we came to this place where there was a little hill, and I looked to the side, to the right and to the left, and it was all dry. You know, it's winter, the trees are dry, the leaves are in the ground, and there's no green at all. So, but as I looked through the woods, you could see like this layer of green, not in the bottom, but like high. It was these bushes, this bush, like just it was getting green and purplish, and you know, it was like, there was life there. And I was like, that's odd. It's winter, and how is it that it's green around? And I came closer to one of those things, and I touched it. You know what it was? It was thorns. It was a thorny bush. See, this is the thing about us. When life is not going all right, when we're going through the wilderness and life seems dry and there's no life around us, the thorny bushes is alive, isn't it? Isn't it all that we can think of is the thorns in our lives and how we are torn for someone else or how someone else is a thorn in your life? Isn't that how it goes? Everything else, you can't see life, but you can see the thorns of life. And this is how I see Moses being here, looking at the thorns of life. But here's one thing that Moses didn't understand, that he is like that bush. There are many bushes out there. But what makes the difference between that special bush and all other ones is that God was in it. Here's the thing. We are like bush, and the difference between us and all of those around us is that we have God, and that He's working in our lives, and He's not done with us yet, independent of the mistakes you have done. On verses 7 to verse 9, God reveals to Moses the purpose in which he's showing up for. Verse 7, then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmakers. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land of flowing milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, whatever, Hivites, and the Jebusites, And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptian oppresses them. God comes to Moses and reveals the purpose. God announces to Moses that he is going to save Israel. But in God's so many times when God reveals his purpose to our lives, we miss the heart of God and we focus on the purpose itself. And I think God is pouring out his heart to Moses right here and say, listen, this is what's going on in my heart, and this is why I'm bringing salvation to the people of Israel. Can you hear the heart of God and the words that follows here? My people are afflicted. They're suffering. They're down. They're being destroyed. This is my people. This is the people that I created. This is the people that I call by my name, and they will worship me in the near future. And the purpose here is not salvation itself. The purpose is the heart of God. God does not like when his people is oppressed. He likes freedom. He likes to give them freedom. Here's the thing. Moses thought that God was doing all those things for him himself, but reality is that God has something much greater, much bigger than just Moses, right? God was showed up to Moses, called Moses, draw him near to him, showed him himself that he's like a fire that will consume the negativity in his life, but not so that Moses would be holy and so good looking or whatever that might be, but that he would go out and serve God by fulfilling what? God's desire for his people, which is to bring freedom and take them out of oppression. See, life is not about us and only about us, ourselves, and being clean and refined and better. Life is so that God works in us so that we can go out there and bring salvation, freedom to those around us. And Moses, he hears the call and he hears the purpose and he hears the heart of God. And instead of buying into it, he showed a little bit of resistance. And that's my third point for you, is that God, he's not only revealed himself to you, he's not only revealed his purpose and calls you, he invites you to participate in what he's doing. And on verse 10, he says, come. God say, come. I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Here's what is so funny about this. Where did Moses came out of? God's people in Egypt, right? Maybe God had a purpose all along for him in Egypt, but then he made a mistake and he ran away from God. Isn't that how we do most of the time, though? Isn't that how our life goes? We are in the place where God has called us to be and to do the things that God has called us to do. And we make a mistake and we allow those mistakes to define our lives, to define our future. And we run away from God. And we run away from God for so many years. But then God finds himself waving, burning bush, whatever that might be. And then you find yourself again before God. And he say, listen, the place you ran from, I'm getting you just ready to go back right there to continue to do the work that I have always planned for you to do. Isn't that funny how God does that to us? Have you been running away from God? Have he revealed himself to you lately in a specific way that you feel like, dang it, he's calling me, he's setting me, and I gotta be right back into it, the place that I came out from. Come, I'll send you. And then Moses is like, I love this verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I? I'm not that important. Who am I? I love the word I there, because this statement is a selfish statement from Moses. He's like, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh to bring children of Israel out? It's like he's telling God, listen, sir, if you don't remember the last time that I was over there, both of these audiences that you calling me to wanted to kill me. So now you're calling me out and putting me right back into the pain and the suffering that I was coming out of it? And God didn't even dealt with him on that. He's like, dude, you're not getting it, right? This is what he says in verse 12. But I will be with you. And that should be enough. That should be enough for us to understand that God is with us. It doesn't matter where he calls us. It doesn't matter what his heart lead us. He is with us, and he's more than capable to help us into facing the difficulties that we will face. So God reveals his purpose, his presence, his purpose. He invites Moses, and he invites us. God's plan is to send people like you and me who are with him into the places where we came from. And then on verses 13 to 15, you see God uncovering his identity to Moses, because now Moses is not only questioning his credential to be part of this, he's doubting God's credential about this, and he's like, who are you again? What is your name? And God's like, don't worry about my name. I am who I said I am. I am. Really, God said, like, existence is based on me. So don't question existence, my existence, because your existence is dependent on my existence. That's what God is telling Moses there. Really telling him, you are called now, buddy, not by Pharaoh, not by your father-in-law. You're being called by me, the most powerful authority in the universe. God reveals himself to him and tell him to go get the elders together and to go tell them what the message that God has for them. I think we close the passage with God exposing what is in his heart to Moses. And this is what has been in his heart all along. On verse 19, he says this, but I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in you. After that, he will let you go. And I will give these people, my people, favor in the sight of the Egyptian. And when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask for her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold and jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. God exposes what is in his heart to Moses, and he's calling in Moses to go back to Egypt to plunder Egypt. What does the word plunder mean? What does that mean? What do I mean? I know sometimes I like you. Huh? To take it away has a bad connotation, though, sometimes. What is the bad connotation of the word plunder? To steal. God is looking to them. It's like, listen. The Egyptians think that they are God. They think that they have all the power, but you act in a way that they will feel stolen. They feel like that they have all that it takes to stop from happening, but they don't. So because they feel they're so important, so powerful, we will do it in a way, we'll take it away from them, not only their possessions, but the power that they think they have themselves. See, this was not about Moses after all, but in the end, not only Moses were blessed, not only the people of Israel was blessed, not only the people of Israel was saved, but Moses himself found purpose in life and was blessed. All the people. See, this is how God works in our lives. We make mistakes and we doubt ourselves and we count ourselves out, and God show himself to you and say, listen, I made you and I have a purpose for you. And because we are marked by those mistakes, we live in that way, and God comes, purifies us, take those mistakes away, give us a new purpose, and bless us in the end. But he doesn't do that alone, with us alone. He do that in the process of saving people's lives. God in chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, demonstrates the inclusion of man in his purpose of salvation. God is asking you to let it go of the past and to allow him to come in and refine your heart so that you can be blessed in the future. The question is, are you going to allow the past mistakes to influence your presence, therefore steal your blessings in the future? Or are you going to let your past go so to be transformed in the present and get God's blessings in the future? That's on you. What is it that you're going to choose? Moses saw God's presence. He drew near to him. Even in the midst of doubt and questioning, he allowed God to come and to refine his soul. And he became the guy who led Israel out of Egypt into the promised land by impacting generations and generations and generations to come. This morning, the worship team is going to come and they're going to finish up with one song. And the song is called, "Here's My Heart, Lord. Here's My Heart." And it's really a cry out to God and say, "Listen, God, this is who I am. This is me bare. And I am not perfect. But I want you to do to me as you did with Moses. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is truth." May this song allow you to open up yourself to God and allow God to speak to you what is true in your heart, so that can be taken away by the refining of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this morning you're struggling in your walk with Jesus and you're like Moses, "Who am I?" Allow God to speak to you. "You're the one I'm calling to impact the life of those in your community or those around you." Maybe this morning you're looking for a church to belong to. And for those who are a member of us, you have heard me saying this many times, you're not perfect, but we love Jesus and we want to be refined by him often to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. We want to participate in the calling of God to save all men. Ezekiel chapter 26. Maybe this morning you just want to be baptized, or maybe you want to accept Jesus for the first time ever, and if all of those things applies to you, please come forward. I'll be up front here. There'll be elders and deacons and leaders in the back, and you can walk there, and even their wives will be in the back, and they can and will pray for you and with you. I would like for you to stand up, and I'll pray, and just sing it out loud. This song that we're about to say, "Jesus, we are so humbled by the fact that we are not marked by the past mistakes of our lives, but you use those as a starting point into turning us back to you, and you use extraordinary measures to call us to you and to accept the refining and the change and the transformation that only you can bring. So many times we're afraid of the fire, but you as the fire, you're not a consuming fire, but actually you are a purifying, refining fire. You don't take it away what should not be taken, but you will disappear with all those things that have marked us negatively from the past. But that we allow your spirit to mold us so that we will be made a new creation, in order to bring salvation to those around us. It's not that we save, but that you have chosen your sovereignty to use men like Moses, like us, to bring the message of the gospel into our community, into our workplace, into our families, so that they themselves, you know, that our God reigns. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.